From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. 100 years ago, Gilmore, Idaho was a thriving mining town in eastern Idaho. But once the silver played out, most people left, leaving behind a ghost town. Now, those mines also left behind a deadly legacy, high levels of lead and arsenic in the soil. In some spots, the lead level is 50 times higher than what is considered safe. Well, now the Idaho Departments of Environmental Quality and Health and Welfare are trying to work with local landowners to offer safety tips and to figure out next steps. Gilmore is west of West Yellowstone and south of Salmon, and property owners do a lot of camping and recreating on that land, and they're worried about the safety of their land and what a cleanup might mean for the area. DEQ is holding a public meeting tonight in Idaho Falls. It's a third in a series of public outreach events. So joining us today to talk more about what's happening in Gilmore are Kevin Koska, Preliminary Assessment Program Coordinator with the Idaho DEQ, and Drew Pendleton, a toxicologist with Health and Welfare. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Gemma.
Thank you, and great to be
here. So, Kevin, let me start with you. Give us a quick history lesson. Tell us about the mining boom in Gilmore.
The mining in Gilmore started in the late 1800s, and it was predominantly lead and silver ore that they were taking out of the mines. And the town really started to boom towards the 1900s, and when they had more investment coming in. And they started developing different mining equipment and different means to take the ore off the side of the mountain. Which included a tramway that cut across the town site, which then emptied ore into waiting rail cars that moved the ore from the Lemhi Valley over towards Montana.
So, Kevin, where exactly did the lead and the arsenic come from then?
You know, we presume that the lead and the arsenic in the town site itself came from that process of transporting the ore from the mines down across to the waiting rail yard. It would have at the time been processed down to smaller sizes on the side of the mountain, then loaded into the ore carts to be brought down to the waiting rail cars. And that whole process just created fines, if you will, from the milling process. And that's likely what dispersed the contamination across the site. It's also been 100 years since the mining kind of stopped at the site. And wind and water erosion over that period of time has probably transported the contamination across the town site as well.
So, Drew, how bad is the contamination now?
Well, the contamination of lead throughout the town site is pretty widespread, and we are very concerned about, especially about kids being exposed to lead, which can have long-term effects on their health and development.
So, Drew, in your opinion, with the way the contamination levels are currently, is it safe for people to live in Gilmore?
Kevin?
Gemma, the lead concentrations in Gilmore in some places are probably about 50 times greater than what's would be a normal screening level around a resident. That level of contamination, can be of significant concern, especially with chronic exposure to lead concentrations, especially at that over 400 parts per million level. But some of the areas in the Gilmore town site proper, there's levels north of 10 to 15,000 parts per million. And so although that's not a situation that's going to have acute hazards or hazards for somebody's well-being, the infrequent users of the site could still find themselves in a situation where at that level, they're having similar risks to somebody living in a site with lead at lower concentrations.
So when did the DEQ find these high levels of lead?
We started an assessment process actually first on the mining claims above the town site. And during that process, we discovered that the some contamination from the mining claims themselves had come down to the town site. And to give a better idea of how this town site is situated, it's about a 90-acre town site. Probably the lower half of the town site was where the old mining ghost town would have been. And the northern half of the town site was probably should be considered more of an industrial area. With the absence of all of that mining infrastructure, you know, it appears that the entire 90-acre town site was the town site. And so it may not be known to some of the landowners that they're actually recreating and living in an area that would have been more thought of more as an industrial area during the mining years, rather than now when it's considered part of the greater Gilmore town site.
So, Drew, does lead and arsenic break down over time? I mean, how do you get rid of this type of contamination?
Lead and as far as the lead contamination within the town, it does not go away. It does not break down. And the only real way to handle the lead present at Gilmore is to physically remove it, which means digging up and removing soil that has been contaminated and taking it somewhere else and keeping it contained, and then replacing that soil at the site with new clean soil.
So is that the type of cleanup option that you are looking at doing, Drew?
Yes, ma'am. It has been discussed. However, as far as options, Kevin is more familiar with the discussions.
Okay. So Kevin, with that said then, I mean, I'm assuming if you have to dig all of this, you know, land up, right, the soil up and then replace it, this could be a costly process. So who would then pay for it? And is this the only option?
So the cleanup process, it can be a multi-pronged approach, but, you know, it's a process that we have to work very closely with the landowners on. This is all private property. And the way that the State Department of Environmental Quality would handle this is we would likely facilitate between the landowners and the federal agency, Environmental Protection Agency, on funds that could be used to clean up the site. So ultimately, any type of cleanup action doesn't come back to these landowners. This isn't a situation where the landowners would have to use their money to clean up the site, but it is something that they would have to partner with state and federal agencies to allow access to their land to clean up the site. As Drew mentioned, in these types of situations where you have lead in the soil, it does involve or could involve removing soils. It could also involve capping soils as they sit on the property. So bringing in clean soil and putting it on top of the lead contaminated soil. Mm-hmm. This isn't something that's not new. This is something that's been done in areas like the Silver Valley for a long time, where there are similar issues related to lead contamination in the soil.
So Kevin, about how many people live in Gilmore now?
You know, the year-round residents at Gilmore, it's hard to track. Gilmore is a completely off-grid community. There are different residents that come and go. We assume that there's probably 3 to 10 full-time year residents at the site at any given time. But, predominantly the site is used for weekend recreation. And it's folks traveling up from the Idaho Falls area that have, you know, invested in these properties to use for camping and other recreation activities.
So I know that you've been holding public meetings this week. You're going to have another one tonight. You've also done a survey of these landowners. So what have you heard from folks so far? I mean, are they open to the cleanup of this town site?
Yeah, I think that there's a varying levels of concern related to the contamination, but interest is high in learning about what possibilities there are moving forward. We are still trying to work with the landowners and communicate with them about all of the risks related to lead and arsenic and get a better understanding of how they're using their properties now and how they plan to use them in the future. And that'll help us determine what type of actions we can take moving forward. We're really looking forward to, you know, future conversations with these landowners and hoping to better understand what their needs are.
Mm-hmm. And Drew, while this process is going on, and you know you're figuring things out and how you will do this type of cleanup, what about tips or suggestions for folks who are in that area to for them to try to maybe reduce exposure to lead? Are there things that folks can do?
Yes, ma'am. There's actually multiple options that people can do in order to protect their health. First, I always recommend make a plan with your doctor and consider getting a blood test. If you've traveled to and from Gilmore, to get a blood lead test, which can be done through your physician. There's also mm-hmm. you to be aware and to try to not play or spend time on bare soil, and to reduce the amount of bare soil on your property, such as cover grasses, crops, and other materials, removing your shoes before entering living spaces, cleaning up dust in your home, RV, cabin, as well as, of course, washing your hands before preparing or eating food, and, of course, being aware to not inhale dust on the roads, such as by slowing down when driving, wear a mask, and increasing your distance from vehicles that you're following when driving through Gilmore.
And before I let you go, so Kevin, what's next then after tonight's meeting? What happens after that?
So we will continue to, you know, do outreach with landowners and try and help educate them on the different options moving forward. The state agencies and its federal partners with EPA and the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, which is commonly known as ATSDR. You know, we will continue to have conversations about what possibilities there are, you know, given the limited availability for funds from the state to take care of this issue. You know, we will have to continue to work with federal partners in exploring what options are moving forward and working with the community to have them understand, you know, what that means and what opportunities they have.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank both of you for coming in and talking to us about this and informing us about what's going on there. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.